Hi, this is Jennifer Nanez from Albuquerque, and you are listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Enjoy!
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast, brought to you by MyCustomSportsChair.com. Go get your favorite sports logo on a chair, or producer extraordinaire Richard Cote's face. MyCustomSportsChair.com. Use the code PHN20. Lonny Goldsmith, Adam Medek, along with aforementioned Richard Cote, joining you this week. Not much going on in the NHL. We're just creeping along to the end of the season. And bye-bye Cochina jerseys.
Probably goodbye.
Listen, they could come back in 5 years.
Okay, so let's talk about it. Let's just get right into it. I mean, that's been the big news. We're recording this on the 11th, so Thursday. That's been the big news in the last 24 hours. Frank Saravelli first reporting it, Elliot Friedman jumping on it. By the way, when I mentioned those two names as a source, it's pretty true, guys.
Like, I mean,
where there's smoke, there's a wildfire.
Right. I mean, the place where this whole thing started was Cervelli's story of the fact that, like, simple but logical, the NHL is preparing two schedules for next year. Mm-hmm. And then how quickly that story advanced in, 4 hours yesterday, maybe less, was unbelievable. It took off.
And the big thing is it's a schedule of Salt Lake and Mullet Arena, Phoenix, Tempe, of the home for the Coyotes. Okay, so the big question is, why did we get here so fast? There's an auction coming up, all that. I think it traces back to Marty Walsh's Twitter feed. If Marty Walsh has not been quiet since he's taken over his position leading the NHLPA, there's numerous times he's taken shots at Mullet. Now, I was on the All Cities feed, the Phoenix All Cities yesterday, where Frank and Elliot were both on there, and that crew with Craig Morgan and Petey and Lee are great. They're one of the four of the All Cities that they have in the country. And the PHX one, Phoenix one, is great. Watched it. You know, you feel bad for the fans. Yes, you feel bad for staff. And one of the things Craig Morgan reported, because he's been tapped in there. I don't know how many years that he's been there, but he's definitely been one of the leading voices in Phoenix hockey on the Coyotes beat, is the players are not happy. They don't want to move necessarily to Salt Lake City. They've got houses. They love the golf situation there. They love living there year round. They love that they came there because it's Phoenix. The problem is, I think you've got non-Coyotes players, 29 other players teams that are not happy with the situation, and you've got ownership and revenue sharing that's not happy with the situation. So while the players may want to live in Phoenix over Salt Lake, not taking anything away from Salt Lake, I get why you want to live in Phoenix, Scottsdale, that whole area. This to me is not the Phoenix Coyotes players. Yeah, I'm sorry, they don't want to move. It's 29 other franchises that have players issues with this.
Part of, Adam, you and I discussed this yesterday. The biggest issue with this is that Phoenix has had their opportunities. Arizona, the franchise has had the opportunities to get it right. And they have played, before the mullet, and their last home ice that they got evicted from, by the way,
yes,
was as far from the population centers of the Phoenix metro area as you can get, where your fan base is. Even on I was telling him the story, on a clear Saturday afternoon in December, it took me 45 minutes to get from Scottsdale to Glendale with not a lot of traffic. It's not close. It was an inconvenient place to get to. Tempe's you're getting closer to the right area to be in, but a 5,000 seat stadium doesn't work.
No. And
even if they win the auction, we're looking at minimum 3 years to get a building built.
Exactly. So you got a lot of things in play here. And Choni Androkidis of Inside AHL Hockey tacked on a story later on in the evening that the question is the AHL as well is affected, because you got Tucson Roadrunners owned by the Coyotes, which essentially would be part of the sale to the NHL in order to sell it to Ryan Smith and his group in Salt Lake City, we may have hockey in Mullet Arena next year, where Tucson folds, moves to Tempe, becomes the Tempe whatever they are, as the primary AHL affiliate for the Utah Golden Spikes or Pioneers or whatever they're going to be when they get their name. So Mullet may still be hosting more than ASU hockey because there's 2 years left on an operating agreement that may be able to apply to an AHL team. There's no lease in place in Tucson that they have to adhere to after this year, but the buyout versus sticking your AHL team. So, I mean, and there's nothing to say about the ECHL just, you know, west of Salt Lake City with the Utah Grizzlies, mm-hmm. who are owned by a separate entity. But, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts now in the next 6 months that we don't have 6 months for moving parts. But, and this is all 2 months from now, like you said, there's an auction for the land that Marullo is still planning to bid on. And part of the agreement, it sounds like being reported by Greg Wyshynski, I think, put it out there, and Elliot Friedman as well, is Alex Marullo may have an opportunity if he agrees to all this. He basically gets a first right of refusal for the next 5 years of a team, an expansion team coming to Arizona, i.e. if they get an arena. So it's almost like they're going to go to Salt Lake. He's still going to, if he wants to bid on this land, if he wins, the Coyotes will come back in 5 years in reincarnation in the new arena. Oh, by the way, Salt Lake will also be getting a new arena. Their legislature passed money. So it looks like, you know, the whatever the Delta Center is now, where the Jazz play, where the hockey team would play next year, 3 or 4 years from now, they're going to get a new arena. So, I mean, so many wheels in motion going on right here, but the only thing I think we know for almost sure is Salt Lake's getting a hockey team next year. This is way – the train is out of the station.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you really have to put it back. I mean, unless the NHLPA pushes it back in. I really think, guys, the NHLPA to me is driving this whole thing that's been happening in the last probably 60 days.
Well, I mean, the ownership group, the players who are not part of the Arizona organization, as you'd mentioned, they're the ones who are not happy about this. It's the visiting team, the people who are coming in. And, you know, rightfully so. When you're splitting 5,000 seats for, you know, ticket revenue, you're not getting much, even though those prices are well more than, you know, what they're worth for attending a hockey game at that arena. And not to, you know, really dump on that arena. It's a college arena. That's not where you should be playing professional hockey, at least for years upon years. This is our second straight season there. And I think the owners of the other clubs and the visiting teams are fed up with the lack of accommodations and the lack of ticket revenue.
Yeah, it's, you know, I will say this, Lonnie, I know you are, you've not been nice to the Coyotes organization and your characterization of them over the years. Jerseys, besides, I'm talking about on ice and yeah, stuff. That's
reasonable.
Numerous people are saying, well, this is why hockey shouldn't have gone there. And here's my question. Is Nashville, San Jose, Anaheim, Raleigh, Miami, Tampa, you can name cities that the Sun, Dallas, even you can name a bunch of cities of shouldn't have gone there. And to me, a lot of those cities can't brag about Matthew Nyes and Austin Matthews, both of who came because of the Coyotes, is a big reason probably why those two guys are in the NHL. So it's not that I don't think Phoenix doesn't deserve a hockey team necessarily.
No, that I completely agree with you. And all of those, I believe, all of those Sunbelt teams you mentioned have either a Stanley Cup or a Cup final appearance in their history.
I think Nashville's the only one without a cup, right?
Yeah.
At this point, the Panthers.
Okay. Yeah, they've been to
Panthers Panthers are and Preds have both been to the finals, neither of a cup. So it's not that it can't work there. it is great that youth hockey is growing in non-traditional markets. That will eventually help an NHL team grow in a non-traditional market like that. The problem is you can't just say we're going to back a team in Phoenix without a plan. And that's been the one thing that's been lacking throughout virtually the entire 27 years has been the moving the team, like not pushing to have an arena built near Scottsdale where your players live, where the core of your fan base is a mistake. It doesn't work that far removed from like a real downtown or the place where your players want to live in.
But they went in 1996 when they moved into, I think it was America West Arena, the downtown arena.
I think that's what it was at that point.
Yeah. And it's gone through 62 names, I think, since then. I think it's Footprint Center now. That wasn't set up well for hockey. There were issues from day one there for hockey, and it took them 7 years to get out of there, where they then built it at Glendale's Arena, which was a problem. Great arena. Been there. Phenomenal place to watch a hockey game. Great press box, by the way, too. But too far out. And I know when you look at a map, you've got the northwest quadrant of Glendale, and you got the northeast quadrant where Scottsdale is. And you look at it, and it's like, oh, they're not that far. The problem is the highways go angled into Phoenix and angled back up to Scottsdale. Anything to go straight across are city streets, which just don't.
Right. Which means you have to go, you take the loop around.
Yep. You got to go north.
You take the outer loop all the way around. It wasn't
45 minutes to an hour.
Right. It wasn't a failure of it being a bad market or having bad fans. It was a failure of geography and not understanding the basic layout of the place you want to grow a team in.
And blame Jerry Moyes for a lot of this. The former owner claimed bankruptcy. The league had to buy him. He's the one that pushed Glendale. Like, it's bad ownership, and choices that bad ownership made is what hurt this franchise. This team was on the deathbed in 2003. They've lasted 20 years while on a deathbed. That's what it was.
Yeah.
They were lucky to be there this long, and I know we're kind of speaking in past tense, but I mean, here's the ironic thing, Richard. 5 years from now, let's fast forward to opening night 2029. You possibly will be having the new Phoenix Coyotes opening up their new building in the north of Scottsdale. You will also have the latest Atlanta Hockey North Suburban reincarnation opening up that night. Who do you schedule the Winnipeg Jets to go visit and open up the arena?
You're thinking about that. You also may have Utah getting ready to play the first home game in their new building.
The rumor is that arena is going to be ready in 3 to 4 years, not five.
Because
they're farther along in the plot of land situation.
And the money.
That can happen quicker. So where do you send Winnipeg?
I think you still send Winnipeg to Arizona. Just because they still have the ties with the first incarnation with the Jets. There's that there. And I know they used to be the Atlanta Thrashers, but who knows what the Atlanta situation, if they're going to somehow get the Thrashers name. I know they used to be Atlanta. I get that, but I think you still send them to Arizona.
Lonnie, where are you sending them?
I'm sending Winnipeg to Atlanta, and I'm sending Utah to Scottsdale.
Yeah. See, I'm sending Winnipeg to Atlanta because that's all the franchise records are tied to those Winnipeg Jets.
Yes, that's right. They're tied to the new Jets.
Back to Atlanta.
Yes. That's right. They're tied to the new Jets, not the old Jets.
Right. The old Jets are Arizona's record. Now, the question becomes, I could very well see a Cleveland Browns situation where if there's this 5-year window and they're real serious about it and they think it's going to come back, where the Coyotes records and everything stays in Phoenix and Salt Lake starts new, which I don't think Ryan Smith would care about. The odd thing was they would still keep the old Winnipeg records if they keep the franchise records in Atlanta or in Arizona.
Yes, that's true. Utah would start from zero.
Right.
And in 5 years, Arizona would pick up the Jets Coyotes records.
Yes. Well, the Jets are just the Jets.
Well, the Jets have the Jets Thrashers.
Yes.
And Atlanta starts from 0-2.
Yes.
Can I get like a spreadsheet of this or a flow chart or something?
Yeah, I was told there would be no math.
Yeah. I mean, at least the A, I mean, you know, now the A's are probably going to change their name when they move to Vegas. At least when they moved towns a couple times, they kept their name. Now they're going to have, yeah, but no, these records things. So, okay, yeah, I mean, opening night 2029, it's Salt Lake goes to Northeast Phoenix area. And fair. Winnipeg goes down to Atlanta for opening. Just mark it down.
Then you get to have the great, you have East Coast, you know, Eastern time, Pacific time, yeah. ESPN or TNT doubleheader.
Got it all. Yep.
You're all set.
There we go.
Okay.
We've just solved opening night 2029.
Oh, I like it. I'm in for it.
It's a shame it's come down to this. It is just, this is so unhockey-like for what's happened the last 24 hours, Lonnie. Like, this is not the NHL to snap, have a snap movement that just gained fire like this with a lot of truth to it.
It's a shame, yes, but I feel like the three of us have for, I don't know, basically every year we've done the podcast. What year are we on anyway? Right?
Doesn't
matter. Every year we've done the podcast, we have made jokes about where Arizona is going to. And some of it is bit, but the bit is also, there's a kernel of truth to it, right? This is a shame. This has been inevitable for a long time. Ever since the NHL had to take over the franchise and couldn't find a legitimate buyer to run it, like this was always, this was the sort of Damocles hanging over that franchise for years. It sucks, but it is what it is. The fact that the NHL has recognized it and has moved this quick, I agree, Adam. That to me is the most surprising piece of this. There is seemingly very decisive action being taken.
And Richard, also the fact that it seems to be the players driving this, which right. You wonder how much is the league using this, thinking, hey, we have a CBA coming up in a couple of years and we need to make sure we have a good relationship because we can't have another lockout.
Exactly. And I mean, Gary Bettman's trying to avoid that at all costs because he's been there for what, 1.5 lockouts, or is it 2 full lockouts? Yeah, that's been kind of mulling in the back of my mind as well, as, you know, this is why the league, after the commissioner, you know, said, for the next 25 years, Arizona is staying in Arizona, and not even a full season later, we're getting news of they're most likely moving to Utah. There's contingency plans for, you know, when the agreements fall through with Arizona State, and, you know, the hockey club has nowhere to play. So, I think the CBA the bargaining agreement coming up in a couple of years has got to be weighing heavily on the league and the Players Association.
Yeah, it's fun. It's definitely, it created news, and it didn't happen before we recorded this week, which is shocking. Or after we recorded, itself.
So yeah, Gary Bettman has been part of 3 labor shortages.
Yeah, I was going to say 2 lockouts and a strike.
Technically 3 lockouts. He arrived after the 1992 strike. But he was part of the 94-95, 04-05, and 12-13 lockouts. Yeah, this is like a, I think the best way to look at it is a preemptive negotiation move.
Fair enough. Yep. So, okay, let's go down the ice, because, you know, we're done cutting teams out of the league like Manscaped does. Shave up, trim up, look as good as you want, Manscaped. It's good. PHN15 is the code. Manscaped.com. Get your discount. Check them out. Look good. Feel good. On the ice. I'm done talking about the West. Like, there's no drama there. The only drama is, who is Dallas going to play as the number one seed? Vegas?
Well, Nashville? It could be Vancouver. Right now, it's Dallas.
No, Dallas is when there's three games to go and they're 4 points back.
That's 6 points.
It's possible. They're about to get their butt kicked versus Edmonton.
By the way, theoretically,
I could see Edmonton catching Vancouver before Vancouver catching Dallas. Boom! Take that hot take.
Well, right. It's not that hot. Two games in hand, even without McDavid right now. Right.
By the way, who back in October said there's nothing to worry about if you're the Edmonton Oilers and you'll be fine?
I don't recall you saying that.
I very much did.
I believe all of us said that.
I said there was a slight room
for panic. No, Richard was not big on Richard, the Oilers. Richard's
glass I said there was slight room for panic. It was a horrible time. And they bounced back. I'll eat my words there.
Yeah, when you have that talent, you bounce. At some point, it catches up. I didn't expect them to be battling for first place, but
okay. It wasn't the non-confidence in Edmonton. It was the confidence in the teams above them at that point.
Yeah. So we got seeding to talk about in the West. Right. Don't care because things are jumbled up. I mean, Winnipeg can still catch Colorado. And Winnipeg has a really tough next two games of Colorado, Dallas. Let's go to the East, where things are happening. The Atlantic is set. We know the top three teams there. That's not going to change. We know Tampa's getting in the playoffs, and now you've got the Islanders who are forgetting how to play hockey. At this point, really? I'm sorry. They were forgetting how to play hockey. Then they found out how to play hockey by winning five in a row.
Right.
And then you have Washington, who they don't want to win, and they just stopped a four-game losing streak by beating the team that's playing 500 hockey in Detroit, all while Pittsburgh was playing phenomenal hockey, where they've got points in six straight games. Oh, and then there's Philly, but holy crap, Philly. John Tortorella is going to have a lot of fun. So Philly, 83. Detroit and Pittsburgh, 84. Washington, 85. The Islanders, 87. You've got all these teams battling for some of them are battling for two spots. Some of them are battling for one spot. The bottom of the East is awesome.
This is just fun.
I mean, it's not as fun for Lonnie.
Detroit's not going to make it. They're out.
You got a horse. Well, you're one of those teams that only has one choice.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem there is.
We're the only of the teams that have one way in.
Yeah. The Islanders, the Capitals, the Pens, and the Flyers are all battling for two spots. Well, poor old Detroit literally battling for one spot.
Yep.
Wild card two is their only hope. They could finish with more points. You know, it's bad for them. It's bad for them.
Yep.
I mean, the good news is, I guess, that they finish above two of those teams. They're guaranteed to be in.
Right. And tonight is the big four-pointer against Pittsburgh.
I mean, this is what's crazy. So the island. So everybody was backing out of the spot for a while. Now. Five in a row for the Isles, seven out of their last 10. The Capitals are backing out. They've 4-4-2 in their last 10. Pittsburgh has points in nine of their last 10 games, including they won four in a row until last night. The Red Wings are playing 500 hockey, and the Flyers have only won once in their last 10 games, who looked to be very much in control 2 weeks ago when we were talking.
Yeah, the schedule for Detroit is the last two games. I mean, if Detroit is still in it for the last two games of the season of a home and home against Montreal.
Yeah,
that helps. At Pittsburgh, at Toronto, the next two nights. Not ideal.
Yeah, because Toronto is still playing to get home ice in the
first Toronto's round. They're playing for home ice and Matthews is playing for 70. Not ideal. Pittsburgh, obviously, this game could, Thursday night's game, maybe the playoffs. That's it. Could be over tonight.
Islanders have been in like a good spot most of the year. Like it kind of seems like they've been strong-ish all year. Like they're the ones that least were kind of the least streaky, I guess, of these teams throughout the season. The Flyers were playing above their skis and then came back down and now really are cratering.
Yeah.
Shocking. Tortorella losing a locker room in an opportune time while benching a captain, blah, blah, blah. Shocking. Yeah. Detroit was a year ahead of schedule, and really they've really never been in the playoffs. They've always been on the doorstep, it seems like, the whole season.
They were flirting with that third spot in the division for a while, sort of between that and fourth, like solidly in. And then over the last couple of months, Alex DeBrincat forgot how to score.
Well, not having Dylan Larkin around probably didn't help.
Six games he was out, those couple of weeks against the teams they were playing didn't help. But Alex DeBrincat has been, he's been bad. For a guy making $8.5 million, like it's 22 goal season is unacceptable. That's not what you're paying a 40 goal scorer for. And he's not scoring. He's got one in his last 18, I think.
Yep. This is all while Patrick Kane has scored 20 goals this year. I mean,
yes,
it's incredible, by the way.
Yes.
Every other game he's scoring a goal.
Right. Kane is holding up his end. DeBrincat is not finding the net right now.
You've also had an issue on the bat. The goaltending hasn't exactly held up.
No, Husso, I mean, goaltending was the question mark to begin with. And then Husso was out for a while, came back, got hurt in his first period back, has been out ever since. He's in Grand Rapids conditioning, but by the time he's able to come back, it won't matter. And Alex Lyon is fine, but like, he's, I think, a number two on a good team. I think if he's the guy who's carrying your team, if he's the answer to your goaltending conundrum, I think there's serious questions.
Yeah, if starting goaltender is the question, Alex Lyon and Ville Husso are not the answers.
No.
And no, they are probably James Reimer.
Right.
With his history.
No, we have three number two goalies on this team. I mean, who are we kidding?
Yeah.
And that's whatever. It is what it is. And like, played above their head, but your goal scorer has got to be scoring goals, and they're not.
Well, I think your defense is pretty suspect.
There's going to be
Petrie, Ben Chariot have not.
No, Chariot and Petrie are going to be.
Yeah.
They'll one or both will be gone next year. Simon Edvinson will take his rightful spot with Mo Sider on the first pair.
Sider took a step back this year, though. I still think he's going to be a really good player, but I think he took
Sider's,
a step back.
Sider's offense has slipped a little bit, but his defensive zone game is unbelievable. I mean, he's been great.
He's a big time minus player as a number one demon. You can't have, like, if your number one D is minus, you're not winning games. No. Like, your top pair has to be plus.
They're rotating too many guys with him. Right. He's played with too many partners all season.
Yeah.
Like, Wallman was fine, but wait, Wallman's a terrible, like, Wallman's not a, he's great going forward. He's not a good defense. He doesn't have a lot of help.
Yeah. But maybe for a team over hockey 500 and in the plus category as a team, if your number one pair is minus, that's a problem.
Right. The problem is there. You have a number one defenseman. You don't have a number one pair.
Yeah. But I think that's a bigger problem than DeBrincat's scoring. I think blue line back to goal. I think you guys have a back end problem, and that's what's going to keep you out of the playoffs. And if you make the playoffs, it'll be exposed in about four, maybe five games.
Oh yeah. I mean, especially if it's played the Rangers the other night, they said on the air it's a joke. I mean, the Rangers have taken points in like 18 of their last 20 against Detroit. It's unbelievable. What a bad matchup Detroit is with them. I don't think they're going to make it though. I think they're going to fall short, and that's okay. Like, they're a year ahead of it, and they need to start bringing some of the younger guys in and start getting rid of some of the dead weight on the team.
Going to talk about the Rangers here in a second, because there's some problems there that people are not recognizing. So, Richard, you have two teams. This is what's ridiculous. If the playoffs ended today, the third seed in the Metro and wild card number two would have a combined minus 61 goal differential amongst them.
Yeah.
Like, how does that happen?
You get, I want to say hot, but not really hot. You get warm at the right time when everyone else is cooling off. That's how you, I don't know how Washington is where they are right now. No. Like with that minus 40 goal differential, they shouldn't be there. They should be somewhere near Columbus.
And how pissed is St. Louis and Minnesota that they're in the West with their points this year? I mean, the Blues would be solidly in a playoff spot in the East.
Absolutely.
And the Blues aren't a good team this year.
Also with the minus 10.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's better than either of the other two teams. Yeah. And Minnesota would be on the doorstep in this playoff shenanigans.
Yep.
Yep. Absolutely.
I mean, so at this point, it's the Islanders' spot to lose. And then I think with the schedule and the way that they're playing, Pittsburgh would have to be the favorite to grab wild card two right now.
I mean, it's really going to depend on tonight's game. Like, I know that's so cliche, but their game tonight, their game tonight against Detroit, I mean, it is key. If they lose it, they're not absolutely out, but they have Boston, Nashville, and then the Islanders to finish. The Penguins do. So getting points where you can is going to be extremely crucial. Even if Detroit can get 1 point tonight in an overtime loss, I think Pittsburgh has to win this in regulation.
And that Islanders game, there's a chance it could mean everything or it could be nothing for the Islanders and they rest everybody on the last day of the season.
It could be that, yeah.
I mean, if the Islanders win one more game and if Washington loses at Buffalo tonight and if Pittsburgh doesn't win their game tonight, then, you know, and Detroit does what they've been like, there's a chance that like the Islanders could be solidly with one game to go in third place. That's the most conceivable part of this whole thing is that the last day of the season, the Islanders could be playing for nothing, which helps Pittsburgh.
It does help Pittsburgh. Yeah. Yeah.
And Philly being 2 points back, but playing the extra game really hurts them now.
Yeah.
But okay, so
I mean, I think the Islanders probably have the most favorable schedule because they've got Montreal tonight and they got the Devils next week.
And they're in the third spot.
And they're in the three spot, not the four.
Yeah, right. I think the wild card, I mean, the Islanders have the best chance of either backing in or staying in third. So Islanders, Capitals, Penguins, Wings, Flyers, Richard, who are the two teams out of the five?
Well, I think Islanders are going to get that third spot. So okay. They're in. Honestly, I think it's Detroit. I think they're going to sneak in and get that second wild card. Especially if they get 1 point tonight against Pittsburgh. If they do that or better, they're in.
I'm going to agree with the Islanders. I'm going to say Pittsburgh. I think their goaltending is the best of the group, and they've got veterans that have been there before and understand, as you're seeing in their last dozen games, when to put the pedal down. Lonnie?
I like how we're all going to have different answers because I'm going to say Islanders are going to get the three, Washington.
Really? Think Ovi's just going to outscore everybody for the last
I think three Ovi's going to – I think some of it's going to be Ovi and some of it is they've got Buffalo and they've got Philly on their schedule still. They got Boston who doesn't, you know, the third to last game that doesn't care. And they got Tampa. I mean, they're playing two teams that are in and two teams that are deeply out of it. So I think that to me gives them the edge.
Okay. Now I'm going to switch to off the ice. Well, it's on the ice, but it's award type stuff, guys. We mentioned the Rangers. Is it just me or is Artemi Panarin being overlooked for the Hart Trophy like nobody else in the league? Everybody's talking about Matthews, Kucherov, and McDavid. Some people are talking about Hellebuck. What Artemi Panarin is doing, 116-point season, 46 goals with the team in position to win the President's Cup. And we're not getting any talk of an Artemi Panarin MVP consideration.
Yeah.
I'd
never thought about that before until you just brought that up and had, you know what? You're right. He should be in consideration for it.
I mean, McDavid has brought them back from the dead and the plus minuses with him on the ice, off the ice are the widest of any of the candidates that we're talking about. You could argue Kucherov literally is the Tampa Bay Lightning this year with his 139 points that he's got 43 goals and 96 assists. And then, you know, Nathan MacKinnon is not having too shabby of a year. But then you have Austin Matthews, who's knocking on the door 70. So he's getting, like, Artemi Panarin is having the quietest MVP caliber season maybe in the history of the league.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Part of it is that his numbers are huge, and yet because they're being overshadowed both in terms of goals and assists, it's getting a little bit lost. I mean, he's got 46 goals. That's great. He's sixth, and he's 20 goals behind the guy who's leading. He's got 70 assists. Amazing. He's 29 assists behind the guy who's leading.
Yeah.
It gets lost.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can add much more to that.
Yeah.
It is. It's crazy to me. I mean, you think he's getting ignored this year. Can I throw another weird stat when I was looking at this? Do you know who's leading the NHL in shutouts for goalies this year?
Oh, I don't.
I'll give you a hint. There's two of them. One of them is Tristan Jarry. If you had to guess, who would be the other one?
Connor Ingram. I just happen to have the page up looking at the other stats.
Oh, you cheater.
Right, I know.
Six shutouts for a team that's won 34 games.
Quite the shutout to win ratio. Right.
Isn't it?
That's wild.
So 17% of their wins have been by shutout.
Has he had all of the team's shutouts?
I'm just assuming so.
I mean, probably, but.
I mean, I'm making assumptions here.
You're not wrong. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know how many shutouts he's had in his career?
Six.
Seven.
Oh, okay.
One more.
So, as we enter the final season, the final week here, there's a lot of fun things going on. We're going to have most likely two guys with 140 plus points. Will Austin Matthews get 70? It's going to be tough now. It's borderline. Sam Reinhart's going to lead. Not Sam Reinhart, sorry. Zach Hyman is going to probably lead the Oilers in goals. You following all this? That I'm hearing? And Connor McDavid is going to have over 100 assists. That's your offense for the year.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
We're back to fun. The way hockey should be with guys actually scoring finally.
Some of the numbers, the individual numbers are just silly. I mean, possibly if McDavid gets back, we're looking at the possibility of having two guys over 100 assists.
Yeah.
That's wild.
There you go.
Throwback to my youth. Unbelievable.
There you go. One more topic, Richard, you put on there. I don't understand your final topic, Richard.
Oh.
Looking at the Golden Knights and the Kings in the West, what's the strategy? What do you mean, what's the strategy?
For the Golden Knights and the Kings. Do they... Who wants what? Who is the better matchup against
Edmonton? No. You win as many games as you can.
I mean, okay. You're not playing the odds of who you'd rather face in the playoffs?
I'd rather face Vancouver than Edmonton.
Fair. But there's also a chance you could face Dallas.
I'd rather face Vancouver than Dallas. You told me that
Vancouver is getting that or is not getting that number one spot. So it's going to be Dallas, right?
Okay, right. If they don't catch Nat. I think Vancouver has the strongest goaltender going this year, but, and I know Edmonton doesn't have a great playoff history, but God dang, they have secondary, their primary score is their secondary scoring of the past. Yeah. And the playoffs are the playoffs, and you know Dreisaitl and MacKinnon are going to, or McDavid are going to, like,
Oh, no, they are.
Yeah.
But look, I pulled some numbers for you here.
Okay, pull numbers.
If you are LA, I think you would rather go up against, if Vancouver somehow wins the, you know, top seed in the West, you're playing Vancouver. You're 3-0-1 against them. You would not want to play Dallas. You were 0-3 this season against the Stars.
This is Vegas's numbers?
No, this is LA's.
LA's, okay.
So LA 0-3 against Dallas.
So here's my strategy for LA.
Yeah.
I think LA has had a garbage month, and the fact that they are playing themselves into borderline not being the third seed when they were literally fighting for the two seed before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're LA, you're just happy to get in. So I don't think it matters who you play. Well, I think LA is done no matter who they play.
Edmonton, they're fairly even. They're 1-2-1 against Edmonton.
When did they play? How many of those games were pre-December versus Edmonton?
Okay. Now you're having me break down even more.
If you're going to give me Edmonton's record since December versus teams, and I'll tell you how they're playing.
Okay. But, well, I don't have that in front of me. It's just season record.
Okay. What's the Knights?
The Vegas Golden Knights. You're wanting to play Dallas. You're 3-0 against them. You were undefeated against the Dallas Stars. And I know regular season doesn't mean much going into the playoffs, but, you know, it's got to give you some hope. It's got to give you some strategy. You've obviously figured out the team enough to beat them three times during the course of the season. So Vegas, you're probably wanting that second wild card, especially if it's going to be Dallas. Against Edmonton or against Vancouver, they're fairly even. They're 2-2 against Vancouver, 1-1-1 against Edmonton.
You know how much head-to-head sometimes means in the regular season? The San Jose Sharks swept the Blues this year. That's how much the regular season means in head-to-head sometimes.
Yeah, but the Blues are bad, and so are the Sharks. It kind of washes out there, right?
I think Vancouver to me is the most susceptible because I think they're the least complete. Like, I think Dallas is complete, but Demko's playing better than Ottinger is right now.
Yeah.
Certainly better than whatever Edmonton's going to throw in net. But the way Edmonton's just been playing since December is on fire. And I think it's good enough for like one playoff series type thing. And then if they get to a long playoff series, then, you know, then at some point you hit the wall, you would think.
Right.
But if you can get into Demko, if you can get that third goal or even that fourth goal in a playoff game, I'm not sure Vancouver has enough on the offensive side to start getting into track meets. Because when you look at like the top goal scorers of the league, you've got JT Miller at 101 points, so he's in the top 10. But find me somebody else that stands up on that roster, and they don't have a top 10 goal scorer there. They're pretty balanced. I think Vancouver's the most susceptible of the teams that you're giving me to choose from.
Okay.
Well, I mean, of those. Yeah. I mean, so Edmonton is susceptible because their goaltending is still a mess.
Oh, absolutely. We'll go back a little bit here. You were asking me about Edmonton and their record since December. Their record against LA. LA has played them three times. LA has gone 1-2 against them since December.
Yeah.
Take away that overtime. Yeah.
Yeah. LA.
1-1-1. It was a regulation loss. They lost in December. Yeah.
So if I'm LA, I'm. I'm going to rethink this. I think you probably want to play Edmonton only because goaltending tends to mean a lot in the playoffs, and they have the worst goaltending of the choices. But they're also not afraid to get in a track meet.
Oh, no.
And in an early series, you've still got enough injuries and enough energy and not a ton of injuries at that point where a track meet can happen every night. So yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay. And let's go to our picks. Vegas, if you're curious, 1-1 against Edmonton since December. All right. Let's do that.
Lonnie had the jump, but he put his picks in.
He'll be here with us in spirit. Thank you. Let's get to our picks. Let's recap last week. I missed the Winnipeg game. I should have gone with Ottawa. I didn't think that your sneaky last minute sixth pick was going to get in there and win. But you know what? They had to give you the extra point. I went 6-1 last week, putting my total to 38-33 on the season. Adam at 4-3 last week. Drops below me on the season total, 37-34. Lonnie also 4-3. He's at 24-32. If you're keeping track at home, as you should. If you'd like to follow us on the Twitter, you can find us at PHN Podcast and use the hashtag PHN Picks to submit your picks for these week's PHN Picks of the Week. All right, let's start with game number one: the New York Rangers at the New York Islanders.
Part of the ABC triple header, by the way.
Yeah.
Three games on the national network. I got the Rangers. Like Lonnie.
I'm going to go Islanders. I'm feeling feisty with them. They're fighting for that number three spot. They're getting it wherever they can.
A road game at home for them. It's a road game at home for them.
Exactly. All right. And we mentioned Lonnie's also going with the Rangers. Game number two, the Winnipeg Jets at the Colorado Avalanche. Adam, who you got?
I think the Avalanche take this because they're at home. Winnipeg's going to be in a tough stretch. I think Colorado hangs on for the two seed.
All right. I'll make it unanimous with Colorado. Lonnie also going with the Avalanche in this game. All right, rest of the games here, very much high playoff implications if things stay the same going into Saturday. Tampa Bay at Washington, game number three. Adam, who you got?
You know, I want to say Washington because, like, Tampa's going to be on a cakewalk and getting ready for the playoffs, but I still think they win.
All right. I'm going Tampa Bay as well. I don't think, like, they've clinched the spot, but I think they want to keep that number one wild card. I don't think they want to drop to that number two and possibly face a Boston or a New York. They will face a Boston, probably not a New York. But
they're not dropping in. What are you talking about? They're 10 points clear, number two. They're secure. They're locked in, dude. You're wrong.
Yeah, whatever. Tampa's still winning.
I believe they are the only team locked into a certain playoff spot right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wild card one is the only thing that can't move in the East. That's the entire NHL. So exactly. There. Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. Well, you know, Tampa Bay's still winning because I don't really have that much faith in Washington right now anyway. All right. Game number four. We have the Detroit Red Wings at the Toronto Maple Leafs. Adam, who you got?
T.O.
T.O.R. All right. I'm going Detroit.
Good. I need yeah. That's two games I'm picking up. I need awesome.
Great, yeah. Okay. Huh? Yeah, we'll see how it happens next time we meet. Lonnie also losing faith in his Red Wings. He's going with Toronto as well in that game. Game number five, there are six
playoff
games.
Playoff preview here.
Potential playoff preview. Say that five times fast. We got the Vancouver Canucks at the Edmonton Oilers. Adam?
Man, I'm going home heavy this week. No, I picked a road team. I like Edmonton. Like Edmonton this game. Yep.
You picked a road team that was the Lightning against a very bad Capitals.
And I picked the Rangers.
Oh, you did pick the
I'm even.
Road. I'm going Vancouver on this one as well.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. I knew you would. Oh, that's three games I pick up. This is great. Oh, I can't wait to be ahead of you next week. It's going to be great.
All right. Final game. This is a very important game for the Pittsburgh Penguins. We have Pittsburgh at Boston. Adam, do they pick up any points?
Saturday night, prime time on the A, the B, the C. They're going to win it. Boston has nothing to play for.
No, they don't.
Because I don't think they're catching the Rangers. And I don't think the Panthers are catching them. So give me, and I said Pittsburgh's making the playoffs, so I kind of need to.
That is true. I put it down already, but you know what? No, Boston does have something to play for. Okay. They do. They have... A Florida team that is chasing them. They're a little far back with three games left, but they're going to need to get every point they can. I'm going Boston. All right, there we go.
Two homer picks of the week for Richard Cote in the Bet 99 in Canada picks.
Well, yeah.
Hey, that's
one
fine.
Homer. One homer and one kind of obvious.
You're two homer teams. It's all good. It's all good.
Exactly. All right. We'll go with that. All right. There we go. There are PHN picks of the week. If you want to follow us again, you can find us at PHN Podcast. And if you would like to submit your picks, you can use the hashtag PHN Picks.
There we go. There we go. Closing thoughts. Liney didn't have any because he jetted on us. So Richard, yeah, you get a closing thought.
Ghosted us. I know. Something that we didn't get to in the rundown, and I thought it was just absolutely fantastic this week. The prank pulled by one Flower, also known as Marc-Andre Fleury, to his teammate Brandon Duhaime. It was perfection.
It was awesome.
Taking the wheels off his car, chaining them to the fence. And with his signature flowers on the hood, it was fantastic. If you have not seen the video for that, go back and check it out. Makes me pine for the days of our good old senior pranks back in high school, which were just absolutely fun.
Yeah, I saw some good hockey pranks over the year. That's for sure. Yeah, no, love it. Thought it was great. Enjoyed it. Good job by Fleury getting him back. He took it to the umpteenth level. Even made him post a video apologizing.
For like the third awesome. Time this season too.
Yep. Yeah. Cause you know, when they were on the same team and then it happened twice now since he was traded, but yeah, no, I thought it was great. Absolutely awesome. Good stuff there. So I'm going to go controversial.
Oh boy.
Going to go in my thought. I don't get it. I didn't understand it. This whole Eclipse craze, we were like 98% here. So I went to the kid's school. It was cool to experience with the kid. There were literally people who drove hours and hours and hours and spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a 4-minute thing. That happens every 18 months.
Somewhere on the planet.
Somewhere on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. I don't understand the... Good on the cities for making a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, there were people here locally that drove. It took them 2 hours to get to a place and 7 hours to get back home.
At that point,
to go down to, like southeast Missouri for totality. Well, right? Because we were not – St. Louis wasn't totality. We were a couple hours away from totality.
No, but, like, yeah, I just – if you're going to plan that far out, go and, like, just stay the night where you're going to be.
No, had to get back for kids. They only wanted the kids to be out of school one day.
Go camp.
Yeah. I just
take a sick day. Come on.
I did it 7 years ago when it was here, and yeah, it's cool. Yep. And sometimes, you know, the eyes to the kids, like the 98% totality, not as cool as 100. Second graders, they were like, okay, yeah, it looks like a noodle. Oh, there goes the noodle. Oh, there's the crescent. Yeah. But then they were bored because, like, you know, the buildup and the 4 minutes, and then it never really got 100% dark because it wasn't totality. Yeah, I'm over it. Good luck to Spain in 26.
Yep.
There you go.
So you're not going to Alaska in 44?
I you know what? I take it 1 year at a time. Is that the next time it's in the States?
Next time it's 20 years? Next time it's in North America, it's going to be in Alaska in 44, and then 45, it's going to hit in the lower 48.
So our friends in Europe have a good run coming up, is what you're saying?
Yes, they absolutely do.
Good for them. Good for them. Okay. Thank you, Chicago Wolf Store and FOCO and Bet99 and Mike Cups of Sports Chair and Manscaped. And thank you for listening. Because this has been another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.